So when you were growing up, did your parents ever say to you, remember who you are? Did you ever hear that? Did anybody's parents say that to you? Some of you? My parents would say this to me, remember who you are. A lot of times on our way out, in fact, when I remember this, I can see my hand on a screen door and I can hear my mom's voice, remember who you are. My brother and I would bolt from the table. After being excused from dinner, we would bolt from the kitchen table to get outside and play before it got too dark, whatever that meant, because some nights we could stay out later, but we would bolt and we'd put our hand on that screen door. Our kitchen was not so far from the front door. Garrett, you probably remember this. Put our hand on the screen door, almost open, and one of our parents, usually my mom, would say, boys, remember who you are, which would make me chuckle a little bit, and I'd look at Dan like, oh, that's funny. Are we going to forget who we are? I mean, come on, right? And then I'd start thinking, well, yeah, we do sometimes forget to pick up our socks and forget to take the trash out, and, well, sometimes we forget to turn the lights off and pick up, and, yeah, but I'd never forget who I am, and then we'd giggle and we'd go play and not think much about it. But as I got older, I'd find myself at a fork in the road. You know, those places where we have to make a decision. Pick the high road or that other road, you know? And the darndest thing would happen. In the back of my mind, I would hear my mom's voice. Kevin, remember who you are. That's good advice. Maybe better advice now than it was then when my hand was on that screen door. I forget who I am. And our memories need work. Sometimes things happen to us and they're like welded to our mind. Unforgettable moments. You wish you could forget them. They're just stuck there, etched into our memory. But some things in our lives, we have to work to remember. Oh, I want to keep this memory. I'm going to carve it in. I'm going to etch it into my life. Today, you four, etch this day into your memory. Etch what happened in that tub. The weird stuff, the comedy of it, the awkwardness of it, the fear you felt when you first got in and the joy of it, remember this. Come back to this day. We do this, one reason we do this is so you can remember who you are. When Jesus got in the water and was baptized and came up, a dove showed up and everyone around could hear, this is my beloved whom I'm well pleased. Your congregation, your family of faith, who is the body of Christ, was offering you that same blessing. Beloved, beloved, you four, beloved, God loves you so much, and this room loves you so much. You are blessed now. You have this to remember. Cheryl laid you down into that water, and it covered you, all of you, buried to what was dead with Christ. You went down in that water, raised back up to new life in Christ, and as that water came dripping off of your face, you drew a very first breath. After you held your breath, you went under, you came back. Do you remember that breath? Remember the breath. Remember the weird awkwardness of this. Etch this memory into your mind. Remember this. You know, something happens to us too. Those of us who've been through the waters before, we kind of go back to our memory. I remember a garden hose running down the side of the church and coming in the window to fill up the tub on my way in, and the water being frighteningly cold. Remember this. You are beloved. Today, you picked up the cross, which is exactly what Cheryl's scripture said. If any of you want to become my followers, like you four today, then deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it, this scripture says. But you know, it's hard to get my mind around that scripture today because I live here with you in Austin and my life isn't threatened. I mean, what's this mean? What does this text mean to us? In the old days of Russia, the Soviet Union days, an American went over to Russia to visit some friends. He happened to be a Baptist. He's staying with some Russian Baptists over there. And the daughter of this family, who's a young adult daughter, she comes in saying, I finally decided I'm going to be baptized. Kind of like you all. I'm going to be baptized. And the American was delighted. The rest of the house wasn't as bubbly, but they were glad too. And the American couldn't contain his delight. He says, I'm so glad. I'm so delighted you gave your heart to Christ. I'm glad you decided to follow him. The girl said, oh, the young lady. I gave my heart to Jesus a long time ago. I invited him in when I was just a child. in the Americans, you know, I don't mean to be rude. Why did you wait so long? And she says with a smile, never even missing a minute, she says, well, now I'm ready to die. And in that time, and in that place, she was not speaking metaphorically. As for many people around the world this day, in many places around the world, what you all have just done is a life-threatening act. To become a Christian can be a very dangerous thing. But where we live, right here at this church, 5206 Balcones, it's not very threatening, right? So what do we do? What's this mean to us? Today we're on our way to the cross. We're in Lent. What does it mean for you today? What is God calling you to die to lose this day? And how in the world are we going to take on more grief without letting our hearts turn to stone? Well, maybe we don't have to. Maybe what Jesus is asking us to do is to lose something else, to lose our life differently. What if you and I are being asked by Jesus to lose something that brings, or lose the grief and take a hold of the things that bring us joy? What if it doesn't lead to grief but joy? Have you ever noticed when you enjoy something, when something is really fun, you find yourself like, whoa, where did the time go? I kind of lost time there. I lost myself in a moment. Does that happen to you all? It happens to me. I might be the only one in the room. I lost track of all time. Sometimes we say, those two dancing over there, even after that music stopped, they've lost themselves in each other's arms. You know what I mean? Does this ever happen to you all? You find yourself kind of lost. The time is gone. Maybe this is the kind of loss that Jesus is asking us to do also. Thomas Merton put it this way: we are invited to forget ourselves on purpose. Cast away our awful solemnity, cast it away to the wind, and join the dance. A week ago Friday, Lori and I took the girls to their very first school dance. First grade, and they're already going to a school dance. It's pretty wild. They get in the place, and it's in the cafeteria, and we get there a little bit late, and it's noisy, and there's kids spinning and twirling and bouncing around, and it's loud. I mean, really loud. And I'm not really too worried about Madison when she goes in there. Madison, as you've seen here, she kind of spins down the aisle. She twirls and spins and twists and glides and skips and hops, even on her toes, almost everywhere, at home, here. But Morgan is a little more reserved. Morgan does not want people to laugh at her, and she kind of closes down. So I think I said something to Lori. I'm a little bit worried. Boy, this may not be fun. One of our kids are going to have a blast, and the other one, oh my, what's going to happen here? But you know, when we got there, what happened? Morgan found a friend and picked up her ankles and did the wheelbarrow across the room, threw all of the paper, and she got on the other side, let those feet down, and that girl picked up Morgan's, and they went around, and then Morgan would come back and give us the report. It sure is a lot of fun out there, Mom and Dad. And then she'd get back out there. The room was busting with joy. They forgot all of their inhibitions, if they had any at all. Maybe there's something about being around people who have so much joy, who are lost in the moment, that allow us to be free also. You know, my first dance was not in first grade. My first dance was in seventh grade. Do you remember this? Center North Junior High? It was a junior high back then, seventh, eighth, and ninth. So when you're a short little seventh grader and you go into a dance where there are freshmen, it's intimidating. And I have to confess, which you all probably already know this, I'm a little bit more like Morgan when it comes to stuff like this. So I'm already thinking about all the ways I can make a good fool of myself, which I'm pretty good at anyway. And so I found myself in the back of the gym with my hands against the wall, as far away from the stage as possible. The wall was cold, and I pushed myself against that wall like the wall needed me to hold it up. And I stood there the whole time, and this chaos is going around me, and it's loud, and darn, those people are big. And holy cow, I could, well, what if, and my brain became Mopac, all of the traffic at rush hour. It was so crowded with all the ways I could make a fool out of myself until Gigi Constantino came over me. Gigi Constantino came up and smiled and said, do you want to dance? Do you remember Gigi Constantino? Gigi Constantino had excellent handwriting, y'all. Perfect handwriting. It was great. And so she asked me to hold her hands. Her hands were warm. And I don't know if it was her warm hands or her warm smile, but all of that reserve, all of that self-obsession melted, and the rest of that night went like that. And when I get down and stuck, sometimes that's one of the places I go to, because I was so light and free. Gigi Constantino put her warm hands in my cold hands, and we did whatever that was Morgan and her buddy was doing through the, what you do when you lose yourself, what you just did, right there. So chalk this up, weld it, scratch it, wood, carve it into the wood of your memory. Remember this, please. Everything you can do to remember who you are. Maybe what Jesus was asking us to do was to lose our life so we can find our life. What if Jesus is asking us to lose all the stuff that keeps us over there stuck to that darn cold wall? Or that keeps us sitting in the bench instead of out in the game? What if Jesus is asking us to let go of all of the stuff that keeps us from being really free at last? Lose your self-loathing. Lose your self-pity. Lose your self-obsession and your self-suppression. Because if you don't, we venture nothing great. We give nothing that costs. We speak out for nothing that really matters. Maybe Jesus is saying, lose your life so you can find your life, which is what you have done today. Find your life. You are born again today. So grow up now in your faith, remembering who you are and remembering that you are now kin in a whole new way to an ancestry of people who have done wild and weird things, courageous things beyond themselves. You today, like Moses, who barefoot, like you today, barefoot, stepping into that. Were you all barefoot when you got into that thing? Yeah. Moses barefoot, standing at this bush on fire, takes off his shoes. And hears God say something. And what's Moses say? Oh, here I am. Which is what you all did today too. And some of what we're doing because we came in this room today too, right? And later in Moses' life, Moses stood in front of the most powerful man on earth. Told them that his bigotry-based society was done for. That his oppression-based economy was finished. That the people most dehumanized by his system, done for. And those people will finally get their dignity and freedom at last. Moses said this with his own, speaking to the most powerful man on earth. The most unlikely things are going to happen through you and in your one voice. And in Moses' case, a new nation found new freedom. And in your case, new faith will spring up because of the words and the faith that pours through your life. New faith, new freedom through your life. Remember this. Remember this. Maybe we should carve up the word remember up there on the back of the room. And on the way in, carve it on that side of this door and on this side of the door so we can remember. We could remember who you are. We can remember how much we are loved. We can remember that not everybody knows this yet. We can remember that God's love gets into this whole world right through human hands, through your hands, and through my hands. Remember. Will you pray with me? Yeah, good. Oh God, take our hearts of stone and turn them back into hearts of flesh and set them on fire for your sake, oh God. In your Son's strong name. Amen.